Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Jesus says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Let us pray. O Lord, who has come through Christ, who comes to us daily, who's promised to come again through Christ at the end, use your word to bring forth fruitfulness in our lives as we listen here today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. As you've seen in lots of places recently, the fall decorating season is underway. Last Saturday, Debbie and I ventured out to shop for a few items that included the kinds of things you'd associate with a traditional harvest. We returned home with a mom, two moms actually, a hay bale, and what turned out to be the most challenging item of all, two corn stalk bundles. And I say challenging because of the effort it took with bungee cord and tie down straps to get it secured on the top of our car to drive below the speed limit in this area and to pull over a few times to let other traffic pass by us. But we and our corn stalks made it back home intact, and now they're standing proudly on either side of a scarecrow who's leaning against our lamppost. For most of us, fall doesn't really mean a full harvest. It just means often acquiring and unpacking bits and pieces of harvest symbolism that help us transition into a unique and beautiful time of the year. Unless you have a vegetable garden or maybe a farm of your own, the closest that you and I get to a harvest is making that trip to the produce section in the grocery store. We've gotten very far removed from the people and the processes that are involved in providing the food that's sitting there on the shelves waiting for us to buy it and consume it in the supermarket. But in an agrarian society such as first century Palestine, people's lives were much more directly tied to the land and to gathering things that were planted. In the life of God's people, Israel, sowing and harvesting was tied to the life of worship. The language of harvesting was used to describe God's will, God's purpose, God's presence, to point forward to the culmination of God's saving purpose and work in the world, Some of Jesus' parables are stories that challenge his people to live righteously in the present in light of the final harvest, God's judgment. So that's part of the biblical picture as well. And in today's text from Matthew, instead of corn stalks, we get grapevines. Jesus says there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. And he first had to make those capital outlays that are necessary. That includes all the standard equipment of that day and time. A wall to keep the animals out. A wine press. A tower complete with security cameras. In fact, on the lower level of it, he included a control room so they could have a video monitoring 24/7 of what was going on at the farm. These are just basic infrastructure investments that the farmer needs to make if he's going to be assured of a fruitful harvest and an efficient vineyard. But we also know that productivity takes more than just hardware and machines. It also takes skilled, reliable labor. That's essential. So the vineyard owner, he posts some job openings for some tenant farmers and gets a few responses online to what he's put there from some seemingly pretty hardworking and reputable people. Turns out, we discover later in the story, he probably should have done a better job with background checks on them. But that's another part of the story we'll get to shortly. For now, we just need to remember that the cultivation and working of a fruitful vineyard, it takes labor, it takes equipment, it takes land, and it especially takes patience. There's a lady named Margaret Feinberg. She talks about her experience of discovering what vintners go through in having to adopt a long-term approach to their work. She says, the first year, a vintner plants shoots of vines rather than seeds because these yield the strongest vines. At the end of the first growing season, he cuts them back. A second year passes, he cuts them back again. Only after the third year, does he see his first viable cluster of grapes. Serious vintners leave those clusters on the vines. For most vintners, it's not until year 4 that they actually bring in the harvest. It helps us think that the vineyard owner in today's parable from Jesus must have been a very patient man. True, this wasn't Napa Valley, and his purpose wasn't necessarily to produce the finest wines that he might be selling, but still he knew that this vineyard project was a long-term project. In the story itself, things are really compressed. The vineyard owner leaves to go on a journey and then comes back from that journey. We don't know where he went or for how long, but we do know it was a journey long enough to go from planting to harvesting. Planting to harvesting. And that's when things start to get violent and bloody in the story. With the arrival of the harvest season, the owner sends some servants to check out how his tenant farmers have been doing at managing and working that territory. He comes to claim his share of the fruit, partly because in that day and time, tenant farmers working in a situation like this would have normally given the owner half of the produce. But in this case, the tenants turn on the owner's representatives. They beat one up, they murder another one, and they stone the third. This incredibly merciful owner then sends another round of servants, and they do the same thing we're told to them. They too get abused and killed. Finally, the owner sends someone from his own bloodline, his son, the heir, thinking that the tenants will respect him. But by this point, the tenants have gotten so settled into thinking that this is essentially their property, they even take the son, we're told, outside of the vineyard, and they kill him. So what began as a very typical kind of situation about an absentee landlord, and some tenant farmers has turned into a very violent rebellion. In its original context, what mattered wasn't so much whether the events described in this story were a realistic scenario, but what mattered most was Jesus saying something to the religious leaders about their resistance to and the rejection of the new thing that God was doing through him, the Savior. Like others before him, they had rejected the prophets that God had sent to them. The leaders themselves had sort of taken this gift of God's reign and mismanaged it or used it. God's reign in this case was their relationship with God, God's saving purpose and work in the world. They had managed it so badly, in fact, to the point of saying no to God's own Son, that now God's kingdom, we're told, needed to be taken away and put in the hands of folks who could manage it better and administrate it more faithfully. That's the message that Jesus was trying to communicate in this parable in its original context. And I think as we listen to this story in our context, our job isn't necessarily to stand behind Jesus and wave our fingers at the religious leaders and say, "You see, you Pharisees and chief priests, you need to heed Jesus' warning," because actually, we ourselves should be listening to Jesus, who puts us on notice as well, reminding us that we're expected to manage the things of God's kingdom wisely, and to produce the kind of fruit that's required of the people of God. Now, one of the ways that you and I do this is by living a kingdom kind of life in all the places where our lives take us from day to day, those places and settings and relationships of our daily lives, at home, at school, in the workplace, in all the other spots and locations where we do business of some sort or another. These are the pieces of territory in God's world where you're called to practice and to proclaim and represent the will and purpose of God. You've been entrusted with resources and relationships for which you're responsible in using them to promote the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's one way that you and I are responsible for bearing fruit for God's kingdom in our lives. But another way I think that we produce the kind of fruit that God wants us to as his people is in our life together as the church, especially the ways that each of us carry out our particular forms of ministry that have been entrusted to us here in this congregation. Last Sunday at the conclusion of our worship service, we voted to affirm and approve all the officers and committees that were presented to us by the nominating committee. At first glance, that might seem like just sort of a procedural matter, a routine kind of thing, a formality that we need to go through. But when you look at it more deeply, you begin to see that we were doing more than just putting our stamp of approval on a list of names. We were each actually taking responsibility for the areas of our church's work that have been entrusted to us. And those come in a variety of forms: deacons, Sunday school teachers, youth and children's leaders, music leaders, ushers, technology assistants, members of committees that cover everything from facilities to finances. All these kinds of things and many other places of service are the pieces of our congregational territory that God has entrusted to each of us to manage wisely and faithfully and fruitfully. Now, I realize that during this particular season in our church's life, when things are different than they often have been, we're journeying through circumstances we've never encountered. So certain parts of our church's ministries are more active than others. We're looking forward to the time when we can more fully reopen other parts of our church's life and mission. But as for the pieces that are already up and running, what we're called to today, you and me, is to do and give our best to whatever God has called you to be and do in the life of our congregation. Whatever portion of the field you've been called to and entrusted to cultivate and manage, whatever your role in our congregation's mission, remember that you're responsible for doing that portion faithfully and dependably, thoroughly, carefully, wisely, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you and I are called to. And as for those other parts of our church's ministry that may not have reopened or be as active yet, that are sort of more idle for the present, maybe this season of COVID-19 will be the kind of season where God will plant some new seeds in some way. Or maybe seeds that are already there are germinating in ways that we don't see or we don't realize. And somehow God is going to bring forth some kind of fruitfulness and harvest that we may not recognize at this point because of our circumstances. And a harvest of some sort, fruitfulness of some sort, that we might not have experienced in any other way than what we're going through right now. New ways of using technology. A renewed appreciation for in-person fellowship and worship. A deepened sense of our own fragility and our dependence on the Lord. A greater openness to change. I want you to go back with me to Jesus' parable today and notice that the tenant farmers have gotten so accustomed to occupying the landowner's territory that they've begun to think and act like it's their territory. They've started confusing stewardship with ownership as if it belongs to them instead of the landowner himself. They've lost sight of the fact that they're actually resident on someone else's land, and in the process have developed a sense of entitlement that fuels their resistance, their rebellion toward the vineyard owner himself. I think here's a reminder to us about the kingdom entrusted to us and given to us through Christ and the kingdom work entrusted to each of us too. Jesus, in today's parable, warns us about confusing service with entitlement. Otherwise, you and I can begin to slip into thinking that, well, this is my ministry. This is my turf in the church. Something I need to guard and protect rather than holding it lightly and gratefully and letting the Lord, to whom it really belongs, cultivate and work in you and through you for some kind of harvest. The good news that we hear in our scripture passage today is that we worship and serve a patient God who cares very deeply about having a harvest. His patience, like we see, his mercy and faithfulness persist, particularly when we take what he's entrusted to us and start to treat it or handle it possessively rather than generously. Sometimes in the life of the church, we begin to administer the things of God casually or half-heartedly or lightly or foolishly. But God is steadfast in his commitment to have his people be fruitful. He doesn't take these kinds of matters lightly, and he holds us accountable for what we do with the portion of the field and the portion of the labor, the portion of the work that's entrusted to each of us in whatever forms it takes beyond the walls of the church and within the life of the congregation as well. How we tend his field and manage his property. Our scripture today, this parable reminds us that eventually his patience reaches its conclusion and he comes to see what we've done with what he's entrusted to us and given us. And as one preacher has put it, when the owner comes and backs up the trucks to load the harvest, what will you and I have to load? What will we have to load? Let's pray. O Lord of the harvest, thank you for the gift of your kingdom in Christ and all the ways that we can live it out, work it out, manage it in our lives here in our church and beyond. Help us to do that faithfully, wisely, dependably, thoroughly, carefully, patiently, trusting in your power working in us and through us to bring forth fruit. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.